I appreciate the Lord and all that he means to me. I'm glad to be his child. I'm a happy sheep in his pasture. So I don't say that lightly. I say that with true meaning. I recommend this life. And if you're on this path, I'm just glad for it. If not, I want you to get on this path. It's a wonderful way to live. I'd like to introduce to us a to-do list. As though we need another list, right? And this particular list has to do with things to do while you're in prison. And so, none of us are in a physical prison. And I'm not talking about the prison house of sin that the Lord has delivered us from. But there are times that circumstances come along and we are in a place of captivity, perhaps. I don't know if that's the right word, or circumstances. And there are times that we need to keep our hope in the Lord. But there's also situations where we can look at it and say, there are things I can do while I'm in this place. So I'd like for us to turn to Acts, the 16th chapter, and the 24th verse. This is the example of Paul and Silas. They were brought to the magistrate, or the authorities, and let's just read what happened to them. Acts 16 and 24, who, having received such a charge, thrust him into the inner, let's go back up to the 22nd verse. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. This was a situation that they had no control over. They had simply preached the gospel. It had made the people mad and caused them to be in a place called a prison. And do you know that can be our situation sometimes? Maybe we are caught in a situation that we were completely innocent in, but we can be imprisoned by their thoughts or their actions toward us. And it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. So while you are in those diverse unsavory consequences or circumstances, you can sing and pray. And I don't think their songs were melancholy. I guess I've never imagined it to be that. They might have sang a sad song or two, but it sang praises. So it was uplifting, wasn't it? They were happy in the Lord. They were happy to have been found in this circumstance that they had no control over. And I believe that the attitude of that heart is what really was the reason that they were released in some way. If they had been totally focused on what they had just experienced, I don't believe they would have got the blessing of release from this prison. So I look at that and I think, you know, there are times that you are caught in a circumstance. But that's the time to sing and pray. And I like that. It was right. Jeremy was right. Sing praises.
I don't think they prayed silently.
No, I don't think they did either. And I don't think they were doing it for show. I think they were feeling honored that they suffered for the Lord. And sometimes when we're in those circumstances, we don't feel honored at all. We just feel like, Lord, just get me through this mess. I'm ready to get out of it. But there are times that we're going to be locked in places that we are not wanting to be in. But the Lord wants something more out of us than the focus of where we're at. So that's what I feel like the Lord has given us. So 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, we have a very different situation for Brother Paul. And this time he was not released. 2 Corinthians 12 and 7, and while he was in this house arrest, in other words, he was in a house, but he could not leave the house. People could come in to him, but he could not go out to them. But Paul, if you remember, Paul wrote letters of encouragement. So when you're in an unsavory circumstance, look outside of yourself and write a letter of encouragement. Those letters were so important that we have most of our New Testament because of his letters. And I thank the Lord for that. And that doesn't mean our letters are going to be published. But do you know, what kind of solace do we get from the scriptures that Paul wrote? It's an incredible blessing to us. And do you know, one little letter, a card of encouragement to someone else, can be something so important to them. I'm challenged by Brother John's testimony this morning of a text that he had received. We can send a text. The Lord lays someone on your heart, let them know that. That's what Paul did in his place of confinement, in his place of captivity. He also had something else that he had to deal with, and it's a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what that was, but it was a place of seriousness that he was asking the Lord, please take it away. I'm ready for it to be removed. It's driving me out of my mind. Lord, I need your help. And it says, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And we don't know if it was a physical affliction. We don't know if it was someone that came to visit him and goaded him all the time, made his life miserable. Maybe it was somebody he was chained up with. I don't know. We don't know what that thorn in the flesh was. But we can say with great confidence that there are times that we experience that. And maybe it's best that we don't know, because we can align to his difficult circumstance when we feel those places. And he wanted it to be removed. And that's just the way human nature is. We want to get out of the battle as quickly as possible. It hurts too bad. I'm miserable here, and I'm ready to be released from this. And you know, this is one place where Paul was released from prison. He and Paul and Silas were. But you know, he was imprisoned far longer and never was released. But yet he never lost hope. He didn't focus on what was happening to him, because he went on to say here, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And how many times we want that. Lord, I'm done with this. I want it to be over with. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So that's where, so there's something we can do. We can glory in infirmities. I think sometimes it's important to pray, Lord, help me to learn everything I can before you release me from this trial. I don't want to have this to happen to me and it be in vain. I want there to be some trophies of your grace gained from this, and you keep me here as long as I need to be here. And many times all we want is just a quick release. But I appreciate Paul's attitude. He looked beyond the circumstances. He looked beyond the captivity. He looked beyond the imprisonment. He looked beyond his infirmity, his sickness, affliction, what that messenger of Satan, whatever that was. He looked beyond that and said, I'm willing for the power of Christ to rest upon me in this place that I'm in. So that's what I want us to be encouraged to do. Another one is, if you'll turn with me to 2 Kings. There are many examples, but this is the ones that the Lord impressed upon my mind. 2 Kings, the 3rd chapter. No, the 5th chapter. I'm sorry. 2 Kings 5. This was a situation of a little girl. We don't even have a name for this girl. We know that she was not a full-grown woman because it describes her as a little maid. It says, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. That little tiny voice brought a chain of events that brought deliverance to Naaman, but it didn't bring deliverance to her. She was a little maid, but she was willing to serve in the capacity that she was in, but she was willing to testify of the greatness of God. And she had compassion on someone besides herself. So she had compassion. And I think about that. We don't even have a name for her. But what a blessing her compassion and her testimony was to Naaman. And you know, in the place that we're in, whatever that might be, we can testify of the Lord's greatness and goodness to others, even if we ourselves are not released. Does that make sense at all? Even if we ourselves are still in a place of hard circumstance, a place that for her it was in slavery or captivity for sure, but in a place of circumstances beyond her control. And you know, sometimes we're placed in circumstances beyond our control. There's not anything we can do to help what has happened to us in our lives. But we can sure pray for others. We can have compassion on others' events that happen in their lives. And we can certainly testify of the greatness of God. So I want to think about Genesis, the 39th chapter. Let's think about Joseph. He was such a wonderful example. But when he was falsely accused, he was put in prison. Not anything he could help, not anything he had done. Genesis, the 39th chapter and the 20th verse. And it says, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. And where is Joseph? Joseph's in prison. What did he do? If he was the keeper of the prison, imagine, use your brain to imagine, what did he do? How did he keep the prison? He was faithful. Faithful to the task, whatever that was. And I'm going to say menial task. Sometimes we think we need to do works of greatness, but it's the small things many times that make the difference. He was faithful. He was a good listener. Yeah. He didn't focus on his imprisonment. He didn't tell everyone, I'm here because I was falsely accused. It's not mentioned there. It said he was a keeper of the prison. So I've thought about, he probably kept it clean. Cleaned well or was responsible in the place that he was in. And it said the Lord blessed him. In our places of circumstance, we can be faithful right where we're at. It don't have to have, oh, what do you say, glamour or glory. We can be faithful in the prison. We can be faithful there. And he never lost hope. Job was not in a physical prison, nor was he in slavery, but he endured some hard consequences. So let's turn to Job, the 42nd chapter. Job lost his children in death, so he was in the grips of despair and grief, great grief over the loss of all of his children. I can't imagine losing one, much less all of them. So he experienced grief. So he was under a prison of grief, if you want to say that. He had total financial loss. Everything he owned was destroyed in one way or the other. Total financial loss. He was in the grips of despair with that. And then he had an affliction on his body. And of all the things that was in the bag that the enemy could have given him, he gave him evidently the worst one. And it was a miserable place. Job was in a miserable place. He was not in a literal prison, but he was in a prison of other things. And do you know, sometimes we can be in a prison of grief, a prison of loss, a prison of loneliness, a prison of despair. But Job did not lose hope in God. And it said, so we read that 42nd chapter, and it's always the end of the book that's so refreshing. But Job had to go through a whole lot before he got to that end of the book, so to speak. And he said, Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. In our circumstance, in our complete despair, it is a time that we can get acquainted with God. This is what happened to Job. He knew him before, but he knew him very well when it was all over with. And there's one more. And it said, and it tells him to go get an offering for his friends, because the Lord wasn't happy with those friends. And it said, the 10th verse, it says, and the Lord turned the captivity. See what I said? He was in a certain kind of captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. So, praying for others. For their well-being. For their success. For their livelihood. I'm sure he didn't pray bad things on them. He prayed good things for them. And I appreciate that story of Job. He was in a tough place. I've known a lot of people that have experienced a whole list of things, but never anybody like Job, except for the Son of God. I'm just saying, Job experienced way more than any human I have known to experience. But the Lord was with him. He prayed for his friends, and he never lost hope. Never lost hope. So whatever circumstance that you're in right now, I don't know what they are. Don't be discouraged in them. Don't lose hope in them. And try to follow this list of things to do. I desire you pray for me.